Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I'd gladly risk it all right now.
It's the Morning Hookup, ESPN Lincoln, FM 101.5, 1480 AM. Will Wilson with you this morning. Hope everything's going okay. And Bill Hooks is out, by the way, today. He is probably on hold, let's see, an hour in? Yeah. With the course being busy and with how, you know, much cocktails those guys like to take during the round, I bet they're on hole 6, maybe 7. Is that pushing it? Is that being too generous? I don't know. Hope your Friday's going okay. Dr. Dane Todd, I'm texting him. I'm sure he will be calling in or be getting here any minute. You know, he's a doctor, so a lot busier than I am, that's for sure. But we will be with Dane here in a few minutes. It was a great hour one. If you missed anything, everything will be posted up online at ESPN Lincoln after the show. We talked to Robin Washit and got some Big Ten Media Day thoughts from him. He's up there in Indy. I think he's coming back today. But luckily, I don't have to keep sitting down here and talking to myself for much longer. I have Elijah Herbel in the house with me right now. He just sat down. Yeah, Elijah,
here to save you.
Yeah, how are you doing, man?
It's been a long couple of days. I was going to say out at Big Ten Media Days, but it's not like I'm there. I'm just sitting here strapped in a room.
Virtually, you are there pretty much.
I'm not getting paid like I'm there.
Well, that's true. Few years left until you and I get to see something like that, hopefully. But, you know, a lot going on up at Big Ten Media Days. Today's just kind of not much going on.
Imagine that, though, if they actually had us out there at Big Ten Media Days. We'd be asking,
would we be doing any work? I've never been to Indy. It sounds fun.
I would just be going there just to sit there and ask the coaches those random questions that they actually want to answer, as opposed to all the stupid football questions. Like, who wants to hear about football? I want to hear about how the fishing's been for you this week. I want to hear about your first car. Like, I want to hear about...
I think it's easy for us to say that, because I agree. Like, we sit here and we listen to questions constantly, and it's, you know, it's the same basic, you know, football talk questions. You know, what do you think of the running back, you know, quarterback, blah, blah, blah. It's good information, but let's be real. There's some juicier stuff we could be getting out of these coaches. Nobody has the balls to ask. But if we went up there and actually did that, I feel like we would not be looked at as a professional reporter.
I mean, I think that's kind of the beauty of sending like the 23-year-olds in the radio station that nobody
But we have
knows.
A reputation to hold. Yes, we have years of a future we have to live up to.
You don't want someone in 10 years to be like, wait, you're the guy from Big Ten Media Days that was asking all those stupid questions.
Exactly. If anything, you may get a job to Barstool out of it. But let's dive into some things, Elijah. Yesterday, we heard Frost at the podium. We heard him with Schmitty, which, by the way, that video is on our Facebook and Twitter page at ESPN Lincoln. Check it out. It's great stuff. By the way, Frost, he made it clear that Schmitty was his last interview yesterday, and looked like he was done with the day. Looked like he was ready to get out of there. And hey, he said it. He gets asked the same questions over and over. I'm sure it gets repetitive. But what did you think of him talking about the O-line? He was asked yesterday, what's the position you feel most comfortable with? He said the O-line.
I think while I talk about this, I think I have that in my folder. If you want to go pull that up under, let's see, it would be under the Frost presser in my Big Ten Media Days folder.
Okay. Yeah, if I find it, I find it. If I don't. But what did you think of that quote from Frost? You know, it seemed genuine, Elijah.
Yeah, and it's he said that he's banking on the offensive line to be one of the strengths of the team this season. And that's kind of what the development of this Husker football program has been about since Scott Frost got here. Not specifically the offensive line, but the team as a whole. It's been about getting the athletes here that Nebraska needs to succeed, because you didn't have those specimens here under Mike Riley. Whenever you're looking at, I mean, offensive linemen, these dudes are all 6'6", 6'7", athletic as hell, 320 pounds, just like strong as an ox. Did you see the video that Mike Golic Jr. posted
yes.
on his Twitter page? I think Was that earlier this week or maybe
I think it was this week, yeah.
Where it was Cam Jurgens just putting an Ohio State defensive lineman on his back. And I think that's part of the development here is you didn't see that under Mike Riley.
Not at all.
I couldn't tell you if I ever even saw a single pancake in a single Mike Riley game. Because
wasn't that ugly?
I mean, they're doing the zone blocking and a whole bunch of pass protection. And now we've had 4 years to develop this offensive line under Scott Frost. And that's so crucial for a Big Ten offensive line to be able to get that physical development after high school. And the offensive line looks the part now.
Yeah.
When you see what Turner Corcoran did in his one game at Rutgers before even really having that much time to hit the weight room, he looks like he's going to be a dude here at Nebraska, especially now that he's had another year to develop. You have Ben Hart. Yeah. You have Cam Jurgens, he got moved from tight end, and he just looks strong as an ox whenever you watch him, if he can get the snaps figured out. It really seems like this offensive line can be a strength of the team.
402-466-3776. So is it safe to be comfortable with this O-line, Elijah? Let's think of it this way. Out of all of Frost's years, is this the best O-line he's had? I think it might be safe to say yes. As far as depth, we talked to Robin earlier. He said the O-line looks bigger. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. Is it safe to say that right now? Because I have a question after this if you say yes.
I don't know about the best, per se, to start the season. I believe by the end of the season, this will be the best offensive line that Scott Frost had. There's still some development that needs to be made along that offensive line. Turner Corcoran needs a few more games under his belt. Even I think Bryce Benhart needs a few more games under his belt. Ethan Piper, you got on the list. They could all use a few more games. That's why you have those warm-up games to start the year. I know Illinois is not really a warm-up game.
No.
With Illinois, Fordham, Buffalo, all three of those games are just chances for these guys to get some experience. And you're not going against the best of the best in these games, but you are getting that experience against a number one defense from a team.
Right.
So I expect this offensive line to develop as the year goes on. But if they can start from a higher point than we've seen from these offensive lines in years past, I mean, took a few games for that offensive line last year to get their feet wet and get things going, even despite some of the veteran leadership that was on that offensive line. I do think that this offensive line, though, by the end of the season, has a chance to be something special, maybe the best position group on that offense.
Nonetheless, it's not shaky, right? We know what we're getting, and we know what we can expect.
It's one of those position groups that I think has a high floor. I don't think we're going to come out and be surprised because this offensive line is terrible this year. I think you know you're at least going to have an average Big Ten offensive line. And I think as the year progresses, as they get some games in the belt, they have a potential to be one of the better groups in the Big Ten.
I love this article that Robin posted earlier, Elijah. It said Adrian Martinez prepared for all or nothing season mentally and physically. And he talked about, when we had him on earlier, the pieces are set around him. You know, the wide receiver group is fine. O-line, we just got done talking about. Running backs, there's a lot of depth, but we're not quite sure what guy's going to emerge and, you know, be running back one. Everything is set. It just, we're relying on Adrian, right?
Yeah, and if you saw what was posted on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter page, it was a little snippet from Schmitty's interview with Frosty. And Frost said, I think that Adrian's got potential to be the Big Ten player of the year this year, just in terms of what type of raw talent he has and the better situation he's got. Do we have this cut?
Here is Frost yesterday with Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio. Check it out.
Yeah, he's an exceptional athlete. Throws it really well. I'll answer this different than I've answered it other times. You know, I went through the highs and lows as a quarterback in Nebraska. There were times I was the probably most hated guy in the state of Nebraska and then finished maybe on the opposite end of the spectrum. And Adrian's lived pieces of both of that in 3 years. We tell him never let your highs be too high and your lows be too low. But he's experienced all of that. I think he's comfortable with where he is. He's talented enough to compete to be the Big Ten player of the year. We got better players around him. He's in good shape and he's confident. And I feel for him when he goes through those things because the praise is always too great and the blame is always too harsh. And there's a lot that a quarterback in Nebraska has to wear on his shoulders, and he's worn that, and I think he's comfortable with it now, with his role and the pressure, and I think he's primed to have a good year.
That was Coach Frost yesterday at Big Ten Media Days with our very own Chris Schmidt. And, he's confident in Adrian. Listen, he got his shoulder fixed. We saw him in the spring game. He looked tighter, looked quicker. The pieces are set, Elijah. In my words, the construction is done. The lights just need to turn on. In other words, Adrian just needs to play his thing.
Yeah,
play his ball.
And what's really going to help him, I know we talk so much about the receivers and how he's got some downfield threats this year, but the running game is so crucial to get Adrian comfortable this season. Because, I mean, Scott Frost's offense is all about taking the yardage the defense gives you, whether it's 5 yards a pop, 4 yards a pop, maybe you get a 60-yard play here and there. It's all about taking what the defense can give you, and then you're setting yourself up at second and five. Scott Frost's offense is built that over two plays, it can pick up 5 yards.
Oh, yeah.
It's whenever you're getting yourself into first and 15, first and 20, second and 15, second and 12, what have you, that we're going to have problems. So if they can get a consistent running game where you actually have a running back who is the leading
the rusher. Yes. Tired of seeing that. Can't have that.
And that's why I think the talk of the offensive line here is so crucial, because you've seen in the Big Ten, at least in years past, I know the new Big Ten's a little bit different, but you've seen in years past that a really good offensive line can hide an average to subpar running back. And we're not sure what Nebraska has in the running back room. I'm not calling the Nebraska running backs average to subpar, because we really don't know what we have.
We know the names. We just don't know the talent.
I mean, haven't seen Gabe Irvin. We haven't seen Marquise Stepp. We saw Yant in very limited spring game action. You really don't know what you have in terms of our backs compared to the rest of the Big Ten, but you do know that a really super solid offensive line can make a running back look a lot better than he is, or can make a good running back, you know, a first round draft pick. When you look at, I mean, I think back to Monte Ball at Wisconsin. He was, I believe, a second round draft pick. I know the Broncos picked him, and he was a disappointment. But
yeah.
He had a really, really good Wisconsin offensive line in front of him, and he was setting all those rushing records. And he came into the NFL and was out of the league in 2.5 years.
Yeah,
you can have one of those guys running the ball behind a great offensive line, and they can look like a world beater.
Definitely.
So at the end of the day, that's why this offensive line talk is just so important, because if they can open up some holes, it doesn't matter who you have running the ball to an extent, because, I mean, if you open up a hole big enough that I can get 3 or 4 yards, the Scott Frost offense is then in rhythm, and you would hope that Scott Frost can pick up, or at least call the right plays to pick up 6 yards over two plays.
Yeah, and I mean, you look up the sacks given up each year, who knows what Adrian would have looked like with a, you know, maybe a little better offensive line in the last two seasons. Who knows if he would have looked any different? We don't know. Obviously, injuries have been a thing with him. But, you know, he's healthy right now. He's on vacation, back at home, relaxing. Hopefully, when he comes back, everything will click into place. So, Elijah Herbel's in right now. Dr. Dane Todd, I have texted him. I think he's just busy. Friday, probably a busy day. A lot of shoulders probably need worked on. Speaking of which, my shoulder's been giving me issues lately. I wonder what's up with that. But Elijah Herbel is in the house. So that's what's going on at Big Ten Media Days. And anything you got from yesterday? Any interesting tidbits? Any storylines that took your eye? Obviously, Kevin Warren didn't say much.
Yeah, I guess what we can get into here a little bit is something we got into whenever you were in on Wednesday for the Hail Varsity show, and that's the projections for the Big Ten have been a bit of a talking point, and, I mean, players and coaches never really want to talk about it, because really at the end of the day, the projections don't matter at all to them. But what is important is Scott Frost said, not in his first presser of the day, but in his second sit-down, that that could be good. It could be a chip for this, a chip on the shoulder of this Nebraska team to be ranked fifth. And then you look at, a school like Wisconsin. They started out the year so strong last year. Graham Mertz looked incredible at quarterback whenever they, murdered Illinois in week one or whatever it was. They've been picked number one because you saw what they were when they were full strength last year. But let's not forget that they finished the year poorly. I mean, I know they had a whole bunch of COVID issues.
They did.
They were down, like, their top receiver, their top running back, a couple offensive linemen in their game against Iowa. But they got beat 28-7 against what was really an average Iowa team last year. That Iowa team was nothing too special, at least according to my eye test. And Wisconsin kind of got beat down by them. So I'm wondering just how wide open this Big Ten West race is actually, because Wisconsin got so many first-place votes in that poll by Cleveland.com. Yeah. I look at it and I go, really, is there that much separating the number one team in Wisconsin, quote unquote, to the number five team in Nebraska? Like, the East is going to be, that's going to be Ohio State's.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that, despite the fact they're losing Justin Fields. Okay, they have 2 5-stars and another 4-star sitting right behind them.
That's what happens at schools like that. It doesn't matter who leaves. Next one up, boom, same thing.
And I just watched this really great film breakdown on YouTube, and it was breaking down Justin Fields and the Ohio State offense and how it's going to work really well with the Chicago Bears. And really, you sat down and you watched the Justin Fields film and what he did at Ohio State and how they adapted their offense to him, and you go, okay, wow, this dude gets it. I mean, they combine Mike Leach's air raid concepts with Walsh's West Coast offense. They have West Coast routes just the same as they have air raid routes, just the same as they have, you know, zone read and spread option type stuff. That Ohio State offense is so unlike anything we have seen in the Big Ten. It's pretty much an NFL offense, and that's why, at least according to the film breakdown I was watching, this guy's like, Justin Fields is going to step in and instantly improve the Bears' offense, regardless of it's taking them to the playoffs this year. It's at least going to be better than what Trubisky could do.
Bears to the Super Bowl. Bears to the Super Bowl is what you're saying.
I'm not telling you that at all. but I digress. It's just when you look at that Ohio State offense, they adapted their offense. That's what Ryan did. He adapted to Justin Fields because he knew he had an NFL guy in Justin Fields. I wonder what, I mean, it's 2 5-stars and a 4-star. So you don't really know how good those guys are until you see him in the game. I mean, right. Spencer Rattler was the top quarterback in the country, and he struggled to start off last season. It took him some time to get his feet wet. So you don't really know what you have with Ohio State, but just based on the talent they have on that roster.
And the gap.
Yeah, nobody in the Big Ten East has anything even close to what Ohio State has on their roster.
I hear what you're saying. So you're saying, you know, 1 through 5 on our side, there's not too big of a gap between each team.
1 through 6, I'd even say. I mean, I don't think...
You put Rutgers? Or is... Yeah, that's...
Rutgers is East. Illinois, I'll put in 7th in the West, and I really don't think they're going to challenge with a first-year head coach in Bielema.
Yeah, the problem
they,
is,
they,
though...
They could catch somebody. They could catch a couple teams. I don't think they're going to be good enough to be... The only chasing top three in the West, at least.
The only thing positive for Illinois is that they got a lot of people returning. Mm-hmm. They got old players, so that, you know, I personally always like that on a team.
Nebraska had a lot of players returning whenever Bo Pelini was shown the door and Mike Riley came in. And Mike Riley did well to steer the ship straight. However,
piggybacked.
You got to think that if Bo Pelini has that roster, that same roster, he can do better with it than Mike Riley, because Mike Riley was trying to, you know, fit a square peg into a round hole.
That's true.
He has a roster built one way, which is Lovie Smith's way, which is similar to what Bielema wants to do. Well, don't get me wrong. They run the ball with the quarterback a little bit more under Lovie Smith than I'd expect under Bielema. But
it happens.
The question is how much is Bielema going to try to do with a roster that he didn't build?
Yeah, right. Well, you see it all the time. Remember when Tim Miles came in, got us to the tournament? Most of that was with Doc's players, right? And what did he do with his players? He never got back.
Well, it was Doc Sadler's. A few of his guys, plus some important transfers in Pettaway and Pitchford that he brought in. So let's not forget. Okay. Pettaway and Pitchford were both his guys. I mean,
but Siobhan was that was Doc's guy.
I believe so.
It was.
And then who was the point guard on that team?
Gallegos was Doc's guy.
Yeah. Was Gallegos there the year before? Was he there the year with Pettaway?
No. He was there since his freshman year. Gallegos was. He was Doc's guy.
Yeah. I shouldn't know if he was still there on the NCAA.
He was.
He was like a fifth year, like medical redshirt senior or something like that.
He might have been fifth year, yeah. Man, he could shoot it, couldn't he?
Oh, he could. Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. The gap, I guess, I don't know. I just haven't. Obviously, Iowa's good. Iowa's going to be all right.
Well, the thing about Iowa's. It feels like even whenever they have an off season, it's still going to be 7-5, 8-4. Even Iowa team is a tough out.
It's fine for them, but I mean they are getting a lot of run. You heard people up in media days. A lot of people were really high on Iowa this year. You know, fifth. I'll say it again. I'm not surprised that we're picked to finish fifth. It's easy to go above that, I think, especially if you have a few upsets in there. But no, Elijah, I think fifth is perfect for this team. You heard it a lot. The team isn't caring about these projections, and even if they are, you're right. It's probably a chip on their shoulder, and that's good to have. It's the Morning Hookup, ESPN Lincoln. We're going to take a break, okay? And then when we come back, let's jump into this Texas-Oklahoma stuff, because we're getting more and more info just as the minutes go. And I have a tweet for you that may shock you and kind of tell you why would Texas leave looking at this.
And before we go, I can also say I know Chris is working on some interviews out at Media Days, and if we want to go with those live, we'll see who he gets and who he's talking to, but we might have some thoughts from Chris Schmidt out at Media Days as well.